Thank you. Be seated. The court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Mentis v. Bernard.
Your Honors, I'm Bob Baskett from Dallas, representing the petitioners, and it's my first opportunity here before the court. I appreciate that honor. As long as we're talking about Mr. Hatchell, I don't know where he went, I would like the court to know that at least in one case that he was involved in, the ruling was correct, and that's the Mother Francis case, which we rely on today. The court granted the writ, and the question in this case is whether or not, if an expert is designated 30 days before trial, the court may still strike that expert because the expert was not designated as soon as practical. I don't do a lot of civil trial law, so I was a little bit surprised at the interest this case has generated, and I suppose the bench and bar are watching this particular case a little more than I would otherwise have thought. In my opinion, there are only three possible interpretations of Rule 166B6B. The first one is the wrong one. The rule that the interpretation that the Court of Appeals adopted in this case, following the Builder's Equipment case, which says that the court has discretion to determine when, whether a party used diligence in finding an expert sometime in the pretrial preparation process. The second interpretation would be that the language in the rule, as soon as practical, refers only to situations where a person designates within the 30-day window, in other words, less than 30 days before trial. The third interpretation, which is the one I believe is the logical and correct one, is that if a person expects to call an expert as a witness, that's language directly from the rule, if a person expects to call an expert witness, he must designate the witness as soon as practical. But he is not required, and the rule does not impose a duty on him to go look for that expert at any time in the pretrial process. And so, if he waits until 30 days before trial to determine he needs an expert, that is time.
What if he has an expert a year in advance and designates that expert 31 days before trial? Under your interpretation, might that raise a problem?
I think the interpretation that I am urging here is one that allows the court to take into account all the language of the rule, starting with the first sentence of that particular section, when a party expects to call an expert as a witness, and also does not require the court to disregard entirely the as soon as practical language. So just as in the Mother Francis case, for example, as the court will recall, one witness had been found and the decision had been made to use that witness a year before trial. And in that case, the court said waiting until 30 days before trial was not a designation made as soon as practical. The words as soon as practical modify and impose a duty relating to designation. They don't impose a duty relating to procurement. And that's where the Court of Appeals went wrong here. That's where the Builder's Equipment case is wrong. And that's where the Mother Francis case hit the nail right on the head.
Is there some rule or reason, if the case is the type of case where you're going to need a number of expert witnesses, and it would physically be possible for the other side to depose those witnesses within 30 days of trial, might you have some duty to start looking for experts ahead of time? Or would your rule say, in a major products case, major medical liability case, if you just want to wait till 30 days out, you can do it?
I think that is a legitimate question that should be addressed by the parties before the trial court, which has the power to set reasonable discovery deadlines. I don't think that the language, see, what we're talking about here really is the language of the rule. And the language of the rule, if using any grammatical construction determinations I know of, says you got to designate as soon as practical after you expect to call a witness. Now, clearly, there can be abuses, and when you abuse any sort of a rule, you do so at your peril. If you know, in the case such as Your Honor just pointed out, that you're going to have a whole bunch of experts, and you're going to, and to be fair to the other side, to serve the purposes of the discovery scheme that we have, which is to avoid surprise and ambush and give everybody a free shot. If you wait to find that expert, I'm presuming in that sort of a case, the other side will know of potential problems and will ask the trial court to set some sort of a time limit. But if you just look at the language of the rule, it doesn't require you to go looking for experts at any particular point in time.
Assuming that you are right and that this trial court made a mistake, it seems to me you still got a couple of hurdles to get this case where you want it. And the first one of those is showing that this error that the trial court made constituted an abuse of discretion. How do you do that?
Well, I do not believe, this court has said many times that a trial court does not have discretion to identify the law and to apply the law to the facts. That is not a question of discretion. The court has to do that correctly. In this case, the court did not apply the law to the facts correctly. The trial court in this case bought the argument of the respondent that not that, and the court will remember, this isn't a situation where the expert was found considerably in advance of trial. This expert was found a week or two at most before he was designated. And the court didn't find that that week or two was not resulted in a delayed designation, a designation that was not as soon as practical. The court bought the argument that the case had been pending for 2 years and nobody got an expert before then.
Is this a case where you have shown that there was good cause for designation at the time that you designated? You got into the case at Thanksgiving, basically, and you had the expert designated for a trial in February?
Yes, sir. The record is a little unclear. I wasn't at the trial, but the record is a little unclear, but it appears to reflect that after a series of lawyers were in and out of the case, the trial lawyer got in the case probably, he wasn't actually, the substitution order wasn't signed until I think sometime in January, but he said he got in the case at the end of November. He went and immediately began trying to find an expert. He found an expert and had engaged that expert. Before he could designate that expert, the expert called him and said, I have a conflict on this trial schedule. I can't be there for your trial. He immediately went out, found another expert, and within a very short time, he had found that expert. He had made the financial arrangements. He had gotten all the information he needed to the expert. The expert had had the time to conduct experiments and tests, and he designated. Another part of your question you may or may not have intended to ask me is who has the burden to prove good cause or not. Since, in my view, the designation here was not untimely, there wasn't really a burden on the plaintiffs below to prove good cause, but I think the record does reflect that if we get to that stage. I'm sure the court recognizes the problems that would be caused if the builder's equipment and the court of appeals below, if their interpretation is the one that's adopted, you're going to have all kinds of courts all over the place deciding when, in some pre-trial scenario, a person is supposed to make certain decisions. You're going to have to decide, for example, Okay. When should he even think he needs an expert? When should he commit the financial resources to get an expert? When should he start looking for the expert? When should he start checking out the qualifications of the expert? This litany can go on and on. Interviewing him, providing him the information, all these things that you have to do before you actually get to the point where you have an expert you expect to call at trial. That's what the rule says. An expert you expect to call at trial must be designated as soon as practical. So I'll point out a couple of cases that that I found last night, and I'll send a supplemental letter to the court. Could be accused of not designating these as soon as practical myself, but a few cases that just point out the problems that some of the courts already have with this situation. In Mother Francis, for example, that court was worried about, they found significant this subjective when he decided he was going to rely on the expert. In a case called Northwestern Casualty versus McCausland, which is at 838 Southwest 2nd, 715, Waco case, the court upheld a denial of a trial court motion to strike, of a motion to strike in the trial court, because the moving party did not show, quote, when the party expected the expert to testify. In other words, when the party made that determination. Because that must start the clock running. In Jones versus Kinder, which is 807 Southwest 2nd, 868, Amarillo case, that court upheld the denial of a motion to strike because there was no showing, to quote the court, that the party knew of his intent to call the expert sooner than 32 days before trial.
You quarrel with the court's authority to exclude an expert under this rule under different facts, say when a lawyer retains an expert a year before trial but then fails to designate that witness in response to an appropriate discovery request?
No, sir. I don't quarrel with that at all, because that is what the rule is supposed to address. That is, when you expect to do it, then you must make the designation. When you know you have an expert, your designation must be as soon as practical.
What if the lawyer says, well, I just hired that expert as a consulting expert, but I didn't decide to call him. I didn't expect to call him until 31 days before trial.
The case of Tinsley versus Downey, which is cited in our brief, addresses that very question as a part of that court's, the 14th court's, discussion of all the variables that might be considered in a situation like this. And they say in there, the interpretation of the rule, like builder's equipment, means that a lawyer in the situation you just described, Your Honor, is penalized if he is dilatory in any fashion in deciding to make the decision to change an expert from a consulting expert to a testifying expert.
Well, I'm trying to figure out whether the problem that you're complaining of in part relates to the rule as written or to the rule as applied by the trial courts or by the standard of appellate review that says that appellate courts must assess the trial court's action on an abuse of discretion standard. Can you help me narrow in on that a little bit?
I think the rule could be drafted in such a way where it is a little clearer. But I think the way it is drafted right now, again, which attaches the duty to designate to the time period at which you have made the determination to call a witness. Under those circumstances, in my particular case, and I'm really here to try to help my clients get some relief. In this particular case, there's no evidence of any abuse or any laying behind the log or any waiting until the last minute. This lawyer who got in this case, I don't think the record is very clear as to why the last lawyers got out of the case, but perhaps the disciplinary rolls would give the court some clue in that regard. But anyway, he got into it and he did everything he possibly could in a very diligent, speedy, time-oriented manner. I would suggest to the court, I don't know whether I need to sit down or continue responding to your question, but...
Are you satisfied with me?
Well, if you have some other answer to my question, then please go ahead.
I simply think the court needs to make it very clear what the rule means. And if the court interprets the rule as it's written, then my clients would be okay, and the bench and bar would have some guidance.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court. The rule seems to indicate that the language "as soon as practical" has some meaning other than at least 30 days or 31 days. You have the rule addressing first the situation when you obtain new information. Of course, if we've answered the discovery completely and correctly, then there's no need necessarily to, no need at all to supplement. The if you obtain new information, then it's fairly emphatic that you have to supplement at least 30 days before trial. Then we go to an R situation in the B category, and we're talking about expert witnesses and giving them a particular emphasis. And that emphasis goes on to indicate as soon as practical. Quite frankly, I don't know what as soon as practical is, other than builder's equipment indicated that you had to have some diligence to go forward and find your experts.
So you contend that under this rule, a litigant is obligated to go find an expert as soon as practical. And if they fail to do that, then the trial court has authority to exclude the expert under this rule.
I think it could be interpreted, Your Honor, as that is one interpretation. I think another interpretation may be that when you make your determination of the witness, you have to disclose it as soon as practical after that, which I would think would be within a day or two.
Once the counsel who tried this case got in the case at the end of November before the trial, you don't have any argument that he did not move as soon as practical with reference to experts, do you?
As far as obtaining experts?
Yes.
I have a problem that he did not disclose the expert as soon as practical, because by the expert's own testimony on the bill of exception, he indicated that he had been engaged, not contacted, but engaged.
When?
5 to 6 weeks before the trial. Now, I think when a case has been pending that long and you have a trial setting that's imminent,
Does that mean that essentially from the time that the expert was engaged until the time he was designated, that a period of a week or two transpired?
That would be correct.
And that's what you're objecting about?
I'm objecting about the late designation as soon as practical. I don't know what as soon as practical means. I'll be the first to admit it, but I was going to delay.
The facts of this case are that the expert was designated to you within a week or two after the time the expert's own testimony indicates he was first contacted.
That's correct.
And